I want to share this morning on the power of praise and worship. And I wanted to show a clip for us to see that it's not just a theoretical thing, but it really can save our lives. It saved the life of this kid. It can save the lives of our kids if they understand that God is to be worshipped, and we should not be afraid to worship him no matter where we're at and no matter what's happening. He deserves all our praise. Father, we give you thanks this morning for your goodness and for your mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you, God, that our understanding is not enough to help us to grasp the reasons why you love us and why you do things that benefit us. But Father, we are just grateful. And Lord, this morning we ask you, God, to continue to minister to us, to continue to speak to us. Father, rebuke every distraction. And Lord, we declare that our hearts are ready, our hearts are prepared to receive your word that is able to change us and to transform us. And so, Lord, we say, speak, Lord, your servants, we are listening. Lord, we pray, oh God, that through the ministry of the word, that Christ will be seen and you will be glorified. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. I want to read from Psalm 149. Psalm 149. The psalmist says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in his honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out a sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Last week we shared about the difference between thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And we saw that thanksgiving was thanking God for what he has done. Praise is declaring what God is, who he is. But worship takes us a little bit further. It takes us to a place where in our own hearts we surrender to the Lord. In worship we exalt God and we yield to his will and to his ways. And so through worship we can offer thanksgiving because it's coming from a heart that is submitted. Through worship we can offer praise. And so many times when you read the Psalms, you'll find the psalmist moves freely in between the three different things, even though there's a technical difference, because worship encompasses all of them. And God has called you and has called me to be people who worship him. And to worship him alone. Not worship God and other things, but to worship him and him alone. And as we come to understand this, we realize that worship impacts our lives in so many different ways. In Psalm 149 here, verse 4 says, the Lord takes delight in his people. But this delight is in the context of a people who worship him. It's not just in the context of people who just are arbitrary, or people who just sit down and, I don't know, watch television all day long, or people who gripe and complain. That's not the context. The context is about a people who worship him. So he says, worship him in the dance, worship him with the tambourine, worship him with the harp. God takes delight in people who worship him. And so if you and I, if we want to please God, if we want for him to delight in us, then it starts with us having this attitude of worship. This attitude where we see him as our number one, and therefore we magnify his name, therefore we declare his goodness, therefore we exalt his name. This little boy, as you can see, for him worship wasn't just something he did at church. You can see, I'm glad the way they did that interview because it showed a little boy who is committed to the Lord, who has memorized the books of the Bible. Many of us have to look in the contents to find certain books. But this little boy has memorized all these books in the Bible. And so you can see for him, this relationship with God is real. He's not just singing some songs because this is what they do at church. He's singing some songs because he has a relationship with the Lord. And in the midst of his trouble, in the midst of a time when he's scared, he could respond by worshiping God. When we worship the Lord, we invite his presence. There's something about God. He likes worship. And whenever his name is being magnified, he turns up on the scene. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 2, that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, Israel. One version says the Lord is enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In other words, as the people of God praise him, he turns upon the scene. He delights to be where people are praising him. I guess he's a little bit like some of us. If you're around people who gripe and complain, most of us, if they're griping and complaining about me, then I'd rather us not be there. Is anybody like me? You know, you don't like to be around people who just criticize and complain about the things that you do. You know, my wife can tell you after a while if I start to criticize too many things, she's going to tell me to get out of the kitchen. You know, I mean, none of us like to be around people who just gripe and complain about things that we do. But we like to be around people who appreciate us, people who will be thankful for whatever little we do. And I think the same thing with the Lord. If his people are always griping and complaining, Lord, why this, why that, why not? And all we can do is grumble, then I think the Lord is like, he sort of like retreats. But when his people start to magnify his name, when his people display a heart of gratitude and a heart that yields to him, he turns upon the scene and he makes his presence known. And that's why the psalmist could say, he is enthroned upon the praises of his people Israel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when they're about to dedicate the temple, I'm going to read some verses from 2 Chronicles 5 here. Verse 11 says, the priests then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen, and playing cymbals and harps and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. I thought to myself, this idea of trying to praise God in my heart, in quietness, I guess it's possible. But when you read the scriptures, you always find sound taking place, music, harp, 120 priests about to blow in the trumpet. That doesn't sound very quiet to me. So if we think that at Cross Creek, I don't think anybody actually believes that, but just in case there's somebody who actually believes that Cross Creek we're allowed, we have a second guest coming. Because here, the 120 priests about to blow trumpets, it gets pretty loud. The trumpeters, verse 13, and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. And they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, he is good. His love endures forever. Oh, I can only imagine that. That atmosphere. It's not a concert. It's a time of worship to the true and living Lord. And all they're declaring is that God is good and his love endures forever. Irrespective of our experience, irrespective of what's happening around us, the reality is, the truth is, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Right. He's worthy to be exalted. Right. And so the priests and the people raised their voices and sang to the Lord. Then it says, then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For what? For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. As these priests worshiped the Lord, God turned upon the scene. God is like, What are they doing? They're exalting my name. I got to make a show. I got to make my presence known. And he turned up, and the Bible says that the glory cloud of God invaded the temple so much so that the priests themselves couldn't stand anymore. They were overcome by the very presence of Almighty God. Friends, there's more and more and more in God for you and for me to experience. We haven't reached anywhere yet in worshiping God. We're just basically taking some baby steps. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be exalted. In Psalm 149 there, the psalmist starts out by declaring that he's worthy to be worshiped in the assembly of the saints. And then he goes on to talk about us having this high praises of God in our mouths upon our beds. In other words, it's both a private thing as well as a public thing. It's when you're at home. It's when you're together with the saints. It's when you're on the street. It's when you're in your car. It's when you're in Walmart. The praises of God should flow freely from our lips. Isn't it amazing how complaining flows freely from the lips of many? No matter how good things are around them, they can always find something to complain about. And no matter how good it is, they can always tell you, well, don't get too excited because bad things are on the way. It's a nice sunny day. Well, don't get too excited because winter is coming. Rather than giving God thanks and praise for the day that God has given us, the psalmist says, this is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Rather than choosing to complain, I'm going to choose to magnify the name of my God. Why? Because he's good. And his love endures forever. God is worthy to be praised. So when we worship God, when we praise him, what happens is that we actually create a heavenly atmosphere. Because when you read Revelation, you realize that in heaven, there's worship and praise taking place around the throne 24-7. That's right. 24-7, God has creatures always worshiping him. Creatures crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Creatures just worshiping him 24-7. And so when you and I on earth start to worship God, what happens is that we create an atmosphere where things of heaven start to take place here on earth. In this heavenly atmosphere, we start to hear the voice of God more clearly. In Matthew 17, the scripture I have there, it is Jesus taking his disciples upon the Mount of Transfiguration. One of the Gospels says he went up there to pray. And while they were in that place, the glory cloud came and Jesus transfigured before them. And they heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. In that atmosphere of heaven, the voice of the Lord is more easily heard. And many of you know that. In that atmosphere, when you're in the presence of the Lord, something happens and you can now hear him speaking to your hearts more easily. It's an heavenly atmosphere. It's that atmosphere where angels are moving to and fro. A couple of weeks back, one of the younger kids shared that they saw angels around this place. In 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about women covering their head, and he was saying, because of the angels, in other words, there was angelic activity taking place as the Corinthian church met together. In that place of worship, in that heavenly atmosphere, the spiritual realm is open to us, and we start to see visions. That's what happened to Isaiah. He started to see creatures around the throne flying to and fro. He got a revelation, he got a vision, and he got a revelation about himself and realized his own condition and all of that situation. He was cleansed and then commissioned to speak God's word. As we praise and worship the Lord, his spirit comes upon us and the gifts of the spirit are released. There's a scripture there in Acts 13 that talks about the leaders of the church in Antioch. Five men, prophets and teachers. And it says that they gather together to minister to the Lord and to fast. Something that is pretty unusual in today's church. Because people think if they're going to fast, it must be for some specific breakthrough. But these men were just worshiping God and they want to spend time seeking him. And so they decided to fast and to minister to the Lord. And in that atmosphere, A prophetic word came and Paul and Silas were separated unto the Lord to go into the apostolic ministry. Because in the atmosphere of worship, the gifts of the Lord are released. In 1 Kings, as Saul came to Samuel, Samuel said to Saul, when you leave this place, you're going to see some prophets coming down. And as you interact with them, you're going to be changed. And these prophets, this company of prophets that came down and were worshiping God, the Lord, with tambourine and harp. They were in that atmosphere of worship, that heavenly atmosphere was over them, and they were continually prophesying to the Lord, prophesying from the Lord. The gifts being released. That's part of the reason why today's church, we don't see much of the gifts, because we don't worship as we should. We think that worship is singing a few little songs and then going our own way. And we don't understand that, no, that's not what worship is. Worship is something that flows from the heart. And we're yielded to Him, and we want Him to be exalted, and we want His presence to be made manifest among us. One of the purposes of the church is to worship God. It's not just to come together so we can say we went to church. We can say we've done our civic or social duty. It really is to come together to magnify the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It really is to exalt Him. When we worship the Lord, and as we enter into His presence, we experience breakthroughs. We experience joy and peace. Because the Bible says in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so as we enter into His presence and we worship Him, something is released into our own spirits. And you and I, we can testify of it because we've experienced it time and time and time again. There's a renewal of the joy of the Lord in our own spirits. There's a release of peace into our own hearts. When we worship the Lord, deliverance occurs. Deliverance. You know, Saul was tormented by an evil spirit, the Bible says. And the people around him said, Saul, you need to find somebody who can play an harp and minister. And they sent for David, the worshiper. David, the man whose heart was always after God. And so David came, and as David played his harp and worshiped the Lord, the Bible says that the evil spirit left Saul. Saul experienced deliverance, all because of the worship of David. Friends, when you and I worship, not only do you and I experience freedom and deliverance, but others around us can experience freedom and deliverance. When we worship the Lord, we experience victory in spiritual warfare. That psalm there that I read, Psalm 149. It talks about may the praise of God be in their mouths. That's another thing. It's not just enough for praise to be in our hearts. How many know what I'm talking about? Praise is supposed to be on your mouth. Yes, I know God knows what's happening in your heart, but when you read the Bible, He wants us to express it through our lips. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that confess His name. It should come out of our mouths. And so here in Psalm 149, it says, may the praise of God be in their mouths. Speak it out. Declare it how good God is. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Because as we do that, it says we inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. It says we bind their kings. Here it's talking about spiritual beings with fetters of iron. As that little boy sang praises to the Lord, I believe the spirits that were influencing that kidnapper got, as it were, terrorized by the very worship that was going up to the Lord. And he couldn't take it anymore and he released the boy. If that little boy had sat in the back of that car just quiet and crying, he perhaps would not have heard about him. He perhaps would have been mistreated and killed. But because of his faith in God, he opened his mouth and worshiped the Lord. And because of his praise, this kidnapper got irritated. He's like, why don't you keep quiet? And the boy kept worshiping God. Friends, that's how you and I ought to be. We should continually be worshiping God. Sometimes the devil will come around and say, why don't you keep quiet? And you just worship God some more. Because he deserves to be worshiped. In Psalm 8 and verse 1, the psalmist says, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Then verse 2 says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. My friends, praise will silence the enemy. When the enemy comes and he starts to tell you all sort of stuff and starts to bring fear, if you'd open your mouth and start to praise the Lord, he will become silent. He doesn't want us to worship God, and many of you know why. Because Satan was believed the person who was in charge of worship in heaven, and then he was kicked out. And so he doesn't want praise to go up to our Father. Praise reminds him of who God is and the fact that he has been defeated. And so you and I, friends, we need to always open our mouths and worship the Lord. When the devil comes and tells you things are going to get worse, you just magnify his name and he'll become quiet. And here I'm glad that the psalmist says, out of the mouth of children and infants, he has ordained praise. They, as it were, become the children that lead us, that show us how we ought to live. It says, we praise the Lord, he will bind their kings with fetters of iron. The enemy becomes bound in your life and in your circumstances. And you and I are able to walk in freedom and in victory. In 2 Chronicles 20, when the people of God were surrounded by the Ammonites and the Moabites and all of their enemies, and after the people of God had sought God's face and God says, this battle is mine, the Bible says that Jehoshaphat appointed singers to go before the army of God, worshippers to go before the army of God, people to declare the goodness of God to go before the army. Friends, worship is what brought the victory, because as the people of God went and worshiped, it says that God brought confusion into the enemy's camp and they turned upon each other and slew each other. It's what happened, friends, that you and I many times we are trying to fight our battle by ourselves and fight our battle using our intellect and fight our battle using all sorts of tools from the world rather than worshiping God and magnifying his name. What I like about 2 Chronicles 20 verse 24 says, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Joseph and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days to collect it. In other words, God gave them such a victory because of the worshippers going forth. It took them 3 days to collect all of the plunder. Not only did they get victory, but they got all of the spoils from the enemy. And that's what praise can do for you and for me. When the enemy thinks he has got us surrounded, when he thinks that he's going to take away from you and from me the things that God has given unto us, as we worship his name, God sends confusion to the enemy's camp and God releases blessings into your life and into my life. In Acts chapter 16, the apostles, Paul and Silas, a story again that most of us know. having set free this girl from the spirit of divination, and the masters were upset, and Paul and Silas were beaten and flogged. Things that should not happen to Roman citizens, sorry. And they were put in prison and in chains. And these two men had every reason, every natural reason to be quiet. Every natural reason to really be complaining. They're in aches, they're in pain, they were beaten, they're bloodied. Had it been some 21st century Christians, there would have been so much complaining going on there in that prison. Why me, Lord? I was just trying to serve the Lord, and look at how they treat me. People are so wicked. The world is getting so bad. But you all know the story. The Apostle Paul was like this little boy. In the middle of the night, the darkest hour of the night, Paul and Silas, the Bible says, opened their mouths and prayed and sang worship to the Lord. They worshiped and magnified his name. In a time when they were hurting, a time when they were bruised. And I believe it's a pattern for you and for me, that no matter what happens to us in life, God is still worthy to be praised. We should still open our mouths and magnify his name. And they didn't praise him quietly in their hearts. I don't know where we get this thing from. But I know from the scriptures, it seems to me that prayer should come out of our mouths. And so Paul and Silas at midnight, they weren't concerned about the prisoners. In fact, the prisoners were there listening to them. Can you imagine that? It's like, why won't these guys shut up? That's perhaps what the jailer is thinking. But Paul and Silas were there magnifying the name of the Lord, their God, worshiping him. All across America, we have people going to gather together on a Sunday morning. And it's hard to get them to worship, and nothing is wrong. Can you imagine if things were really bad? They wouldn't even turn up. And so here you have the Apostle Paul and Silas showing us as a pattern how the people of God ought to function in times of affliction. You open your mouth and you declare that God is good. And you magnify his name. You worship him no matter what. They weren't worshiping God expecting God to set them free. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were worshiping God because what? He deserves to be worshiped. So don't let circumstances prevent you from worshiping God. Don't let the enemy prevent you from worshiping God. Don't even let governments prevent you from worshiping God. Open your mouth and declare that God is good. And so as Paul and Silas worshiped God, the Bible tells us that the chains fell off. Well, first of all, it tells us that there was an earthquake. A friend of mine says God started to dance. And if God dances, then there must be an earthquake. But God responded by there being an earthquake. God turned upon the scene. And Paul and Silas, the chains fell off, and all the chains of all the prisoners fell off. All because Paul and Silas worshipped God. All because they magnified his name. It says even the prison doors flew open. And everybody's chains were loose. So much so the jailer thought they all escaped. And was about to kill himself. And Paul and Silas says, don't do that. We are still here. And when the jailer realized we were still there, the jailer himself realized that this was something else that had happened. That their God had intervened. And he says, what must I do to be saved? Can you imagine that? Verse 27, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoner had escaped. Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And when he had brought them out, he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Why would he ask such a question? Obviously, whatever Paul and Silas were singing about had to relate to the God that they were serving. So obviously, they were magnifying the name of the Lord. And this jailer realized that the God that these guys are serving is greater than all the gods of the Romans. What must I do to be saved? They didn't have to preach to him a four-point message, the four laws, spiritual laws to get saved. He recognized the power of God at work. You understand what I'm saying, saints? When you and I develop this atmosphere of worship all around us, people will come to us and ask us about why we have so much hope. They'll come to us wanting to know, tell me about the God whom you serve. What must I do to be saved? It's a power of worship. Even as we're exalting God, things are happening in the heavenlies. Things are happening on earth. Situations are changing because the people of God are worshiping him. That's one of the reasons why the devil don't want us to worship God. He'd rather we complain and blame the government for everything. No matter who's in power, whether it be Bush or Obama, blame the government for everything, rather than worshiping God and declaring how good God is to us. Wow. I've listed there for us some challenges to genuine praise and worship. One of the common challenges is the flesh, the physical body. You know, when Jesus left his apostles to pray in the garden, they all fell asleep. In the time of his greatest need, they fell asleep and Christ came back and basically said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And many times that's what happened to us as the people of God. We're tired, we're distracted by all manner of stuff. And this physical body doesn't want to praise the Lord. But thank God we know who is in charge. Thank God we know that we don't live by our feelings. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 103, he perhaps wasn't feeling like he wanted to praise God, so he spoke to himself and says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me, bless his holy name. And you and me, so sometimes we have to just grab our bodies, by whatever, and pull it up and say, you're going to bless God this morning. You're going to worship God because God has been good to you. Right. The fact that we are here means God has been good to us. Right. And so it doesn't really matter how I feel. I'm going to tell my flesh, you are going to worship God. Right. You know, people see me and they want to know, why is it I'm always saying that I'm fantastic? Why? Because I tell myself I'm fantastic. Because God has been good to me. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. The fact is, I'm worshiping and I'm serving the true and living God. Therefore, I'm fantastic. Right. And so I'm going to declare the goodness of God till the day I die. I want to leave this earth as worshiping God. I want to step from this earth into eternity with a song of praise on my lips. Yeah. Because he's worthy to be worshipped. Every breath that I take should declare the goodness of God. After all sort of people coming out of the closet, it's about time the church come out of the closet and declare how good God is. Amen. Amen. Every time I look on the internet, they're telling me who's coming out. I don't care who's coming out. I want to see the people of God declare the goodness of God. Right. And that's why in Hebrews, the writer says, through Jesus. It is through Jesus as you and I are offering praise to the Lord. And he calls it a sacrifice. Because sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you might even be sick in aches and pains. But you know what? You're going to still open your mouth and worship God because he's worthy to be praised. And so he calls it a sacrifice of praise that comes out of our lips declaring the goodness of God. And then it goes on in Hebrews to talk about, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And so you have the worship coming from our lips, and we're serving people with our hands. And God is pleased with that type of sacrifice. Some of the other challenges are listed there. We all know that sin will hinder us from worshiping God. The psalmist says, who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. We all know that if we're not relating right to people, in Matthew, Jesus says, go and settle your differences first and then come and offer your sacrifice. So I've listed several things there. Pride. Acting as if we think that we are so much better than other people. That's what happened with the Pharisee when he went to the temple to pray. He was looking down on the collector, the tax collector, and says, I thank God I'm not like him. But God is not looking for that type of praise where we're comparing ourselves to others. He's looking for praise where he is exalted, not where we exalt ourselves. And so pride can be a hindrance. If we live our lives thinking, oh, look how good I am. I've achieved all of this by hard work and commitment. I've achieved all that I have. And then you want to worship God. God is like, what are you talking about? I talked about hypocritical living. We mentioned this last week. But the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible says that they were honoring God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. So God wants us to yield ourselves to him even as we worship him. Have shame and self-centeredness. What happened to Adam and Eve? They became so conscious of themselves that they didn't have time to be focusing on the Lord. I've listed their idolatry and covetousness. Or greed, which Paul mentions in Colossians. All these things can be challenged to us being able to worship God as we should. But as I was thinking about this, where's my list? I sat down and just being before the Lord, came up with a list from A to Z of the benefits of praise and worship. Every letter in our alphabet reminding me about something about praise and worship. I'm just going to look at a few, and I'm going to ask Sean to come on back up. A reminds me that as I worship and praise God, anxiety and anger subsides, and the anointing of God is poured out. Psalm 23 talks about God being enthroned upon the praises of his people. And as we worship and magnify his name, whatever anxiety we have subsides, and the presence of the Lord can be felt. As we worship and praise him, it says bitterness melts and boldness is gained. The apostles, when they were beaten and went back to their own company, the first thing they did was to worship and to magnify the Lord, and all that they got boldness. C says, when we worship the Lord, our cares are removed and comfort and change is granted. God intervenes in our lives and our circumstances. D, when we worship the Lord, depression and darkness dissipates and deliverance occurs. E, when we worship the Lord, emptiness goes and encouragement is obtained. That's what happened to David when he came back to Ziklag and his family and others had been captured. He encouraged himself in the Lord by worshiping and magnifying the Lord. F, when we worship the Lord, fear departs and faith grows. G, when we worship the Lord, grumbling ceases and grace and the gifts of the Spirit are received. H, when we worship the Lord, hopelessness goes and hope is restored and healing received. I, when we worship the Lord, we get insights and inspiration from the Lord. J, when we worship the Lord, we experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. K, when we worship the Lord, the knowledge of God increases in our own lives. L, when we worship the Lord, the love of God is experienced. M, when we worship the Lord, our minds are renewed and mercy is granted. N, when we worship the Lord, we get new perspectives. O, when we worship the Lord, optimism is gained. P, when we worship the Lord, passion for Christ grows and peace experienced. Q, when we worship the Lord, quietness is released into our own souls. R, when we worship the Lord, refreshing and revelations received. S, when we worship the Lord, shame disappears and satisfaction of soul and spirit results. T, when we worship the Lord, temporary things fade and timeless things gain value. U, when we worship the Lord, unbelief disappears and unlimited confidence encountered. V, when we worship the Lord, the voice of the Lord, voice of God is heard and visions released. W, when we worship the Lord, worries dissipates and the word of God comes forth. E, X, it's hard to find a word with X. So if these experiences with God and excitement is regained, while yokes are broken and the zeal for the Lord is restored. That's the A to Z benefits of worshiping our God. Friends, God is worthy to be worshipped. Let us stand. The holiday season, more than any other time, tells us and reminds us of the value and power of worship. Let us bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this building. You're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to recommit my life to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody that needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning? Praise God. Well, we want to move right into singing some songs of worship to the Lord in response to this word. God is worthy to be praised. Go ahead.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, long just to bring something that's of worth, that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. Oh, I'll bring you more than a song, is not what you have required. You search much deeper, so much deeper, Lord. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Lord. I'm coming back to the heart, oh, the heart of worship. Lord, it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing, oh, what I made it. Oh, it's all about you. I'll bring you more than a song. 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 I'll bring you all of me, Lord. I'll bring you more. I'll bring you more. Lord, I won't go through the motions. I'm gonna give you all of me. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. 'Cause it's all about you, Jesus.
Joyce, there was a song we used to sing back in the day. It says, when I look into your loveliness, when I gaze into your holiness, or the other way around, then the things of this earth will go strangely. Well, the things that, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into